Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our 2012 Christmas program of the Duluth Bible Church. I'm Dennis Roxer, Senior Pastor here, and I thank you for adjusting your schedule to come tonight instead of last Sunday night as we postponed our program then due to slippery roads. Unfortunately, this has created a conflict with some of our choir members, so we'll have a little less than a full choir here, unfortunately. If you do have a cell phone tonight, we'd ask that you would make sure you turn it off for the entirety of the program. The title of our program tonight is The Cross, God's Christmas Tree. And I want to thank all the individuals participating and their families which make this program possible tonight. Now, today is quite a unique day. Do you know why? It is 12/12/12. It'll be many, many years until the day, month, and year of the calendar all line up again. But frankly, as unique as today, as it pales in comparison to the uniqueness of the day when Jesus Christ was born into this world. Galatians 4, verse 4 tells us, "But when the fullness of the time had come, at the exact appointed time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman," that was the means of the incarnation, "born under the law," the dispensation in which Jesus Christ lived. And why did he come? To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Jesus Christ, in keeping with the plan of God, came at exactly the designated time, which was determined by God the Father. And not only was the time unique when our Lord came, but so was the one who came. For John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," his unique Son, his one and only Son, "that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have right now everlasting life." So why did Jesus Christ come? Well, he came to earth primarily for three purposes. First of all, he came to reveal God to man. So if you saw Jesus Christ walking on the earth, you would have seen God in human flesh. And that's why he said on one occasion, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." Secondly, he came to reign as Israel's king. Israel had been promised a king and a kingdom, and he came to offer them that kingdom, but instead of receiving him, they rejected him, and that kingdom has been postponed until he comes again and the nation of Israel receives him as their rightful Messiah. But thirdly, he not only came to reveal God to man and to reign as Israel's king, but he came to redeem lost sinners. And to accomplish this, saving sinners from a hell they deserve to a heaven they don't, Jesus Christ would need to die. Why? Because the penalty for man's sin is death. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now keep in mind that dying on a cross was a horrible thing. In fact, it was so horrific physically that the Romans eventually banned the practice altogether, and the Jews viewed crucifixion as a curse. But that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He died on the cross, not for his sins, for he had none, but he died for you and he died for me. And he died for the sins of the whole world. He paid the penalty of our sins there, which is death. And keep in mind that as horrific as crucifixion was physically, it is recorded that Jesus Christ never even opened his mouth to express his physical pain and agony. For it was not until God the Father laid our sins upon his Son, who would die as our substitute, that Jesus then cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And what was the reason for Jesus Christ screaming this out? It was because God is holy and He was dying spiritually for us on the cross. He was separated from the fellowship of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in which He had enjoyed from eternity past. And now He was separated for the first and the last time. For death is separation. And thus hell will be a place of eternal torment, eternal punishment, eternal separation in which people are separated from the blessings of God's grace forever and ever and ever. And it's also unnecessary in light of the good news that God loves us and by His grace He wants to save us. And He wants to give us such divine blessing as His love, eternal life, the Holy Spirit, access to God, God's joy, peace with God, and hope in Christ, which will all be explained during our program tonight. And why are all these blessings available to you? It is not because you deserve them. It is not because you have earned them. It is not because you can work for them as if God is indebted to reward you in light of what you have done. No, dear friends, these blessings that God is offering to us is because of who God is and because of Jesus Christ and what He's done on the cross. These are blessings of God's grace. And thus, when Christ hung on that cross, taking our sins upon Himself, He cried out triumphantly, "It is finished," as your penalty of sin was paid in full by Jesus Christ. And that's why on the third day God raised Jesus Christ from the dead as God accepted the payment for sin that Christ made on your behalf. Jesus Christ is now alive, and He is willing and He is wanting to save you. He is wanting to forgive you. He is wanting to wash away all of your sins by His own blood. So I ask you, what do you think of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for you? For the issue is not what church do you attend, as no church can save you, including this one. The issue is not what church rituals have you participated in, as water baptism can make no one a child of God. Only faith in Christ can do that. The issue is not what good works have you done or not done, for Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith." And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Nor is it an issue of what experiences have you had, as salvation is not based upon one's feelings or one's emotions. And that's why the Bible says in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Thus, God said it, Christ did it, if you believe it, that settles it, and you can know. And just like at this Christmas season, many gifts will be given, and many gifts will be received. And they can know when they received a gift, so you can know when you have eternal life, the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work alone. So what do you think of the cross, God's Christmas tree? I ask you because 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So are you perishing tonight, or have you been saved by the grace of God? Is the cross to you foolishness, or do you see in that cross a finished work in which Christ accomplished for you and paying for your sin? In dying on your behalf, in bearing the equivalent of hell for you, so that the moment you put your faith in Him alone, that gift of salvation becomes yours. And thus, if Christ spoke the truth when He cried out, "It is finished," there is nothing left for you or me to do but to place our faith in Jesus Christ alone to save us. The choice is yours. But I plead with you tonight to trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as He is the only Savior God has ever provided. Put your faith in Him alone and be saved before it is too late. And if you ever wonder whether God really loves you or not, remember He loves you this much. For Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It's not too late to receive the gift of eternal life and God's forgiveness. In fact, you can do it right now. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Jesus Christ and His work upon the cross, and for the gift of salvation. And I pray that tonight He would be honored. He could be seen for who He is and what He's done. And Lord, we thank You so much that on that cross You died for us. You paid for our sins. You rose again to give us eternal life. And You're willing to give it to those who do not deserve it, those who have sinned against You, those who deserve an eternal hell, sinners like me. But Father, I just pray for anyone here who's never received that gift, who's never trusted in Christ alone, who's never transferred their faith from those works and a church and rituals that cannot save them and trusted in Christ alone. May even right now or before this program is over, may they make that decision to trust in Him and His work to save them and receive that gift of eternal life. And Father, for those who are redeemed, I just pray that tonight, again, we would give You the glory and let the redeemed of the Lord say so in light of the great work You have done. We thank You now in Jesus' name. And amen. I present to you the cross, God's Christmas tree.
Thank you, choirs, for that wonderful song to begin our program and to encourage us to start thinking about Christmas. Hey, Christia, what comes to your mind when you hear Christmas music?
You know, several things. Jesus' birth, family gatherings, certain holiday food, lights, decorations, and our Christmas tree.
I'm sure we all envision a lot of the same things when we hear Christmas music. However, the important consideration for us tonight is not the gifts, decorations, or a beautiful Christmas tree, like the one that Christia described. Instead, it is the cross, God's Christmas tree. In fact, when the Apostle Peter described to the high priest of Israel, he said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree."
It is under that tree for which we have gathered this evening, where we find a few of the many gifts of God's grace and mercy. The gifts we will unwrap tonight were not purchased in a department store with a credit card. Instead, they are of a spiritual nature and have been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, God's Christmas tree.
Let's watch as our first and second graders retell the wonderful story of how God sent His Son to earth to be our Savior, which made it possible to have God's Christmas tree. Luke 2:1-7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went out to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went out from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Now
Now, long after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. As we think of God's Christmas tree, the first gift we see is the gift of God's love. God loves us unconditionally and has expressed this love toward us by sending his only Son to earth to be the Savior of the world. It is because of God's love for us that he gave us Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, to save us from an eternal hell that we all deserve.
Though some people may be willing to die for a good person, Christ went beyond that. He died in the place of the ungodly. What a gracious and loving God!
But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8.
The love of God was manifested toward us that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. 1 John 4:9.
Let's listen as the 3- and 4-year-olds tell us more about the love of Jesus.
As we continue to think of God's Christmas tree tonight, we also see there is the gift of eternal life. Eternity. Just think, Kel. It means we will live forever.
This is an amazing gift. In fact, God is not asking one thing from us in order to be saved from hell and to live with Him for all eternity in heaven. Instead, He gave His Son to die on the cross, His Christmas tree, so that we can have eternal life and spend eternity with Him in heaven.
The Bible states, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Ephesians 2, 8 and 9.
Jesus Christ declared, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in him who sent me has everlasting life." John 6, 47.
So often, salvation is thought of as something that is yet future, as if God has it labeled, "Do not open until you're dead." But the salvation that God gives us is a salvation that can be enjoyed right now, a salvation that was paid for by God's Son and has been offered to you as a gift, which is received by faith.
Christea, that's such good news. Let's step back and listen to the 5 and K as they tell us more about our wonderful Savior.
Glory to His name. The time.
The third gift of God's grace is a real blessing for every believer in Christ. When one becomes a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus, they instantly receive the Holy Spirit. Just like eternal life, you do not have to wait for the Holy Spirit through a special blessing. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit the moment you place your faith in Christ alone.
And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. John 14:16-18.
Did you catch that, Chris? The Holy Spirit is called the helper. The ministry is going to include teaching, guiding, comforting, enabling, and convicting believers. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit the moment that you believe.
In him you have also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Ephesians 1:13-14.
What a wonderful and awesome Father we have. Our junior church will once again honor God's own Son through this next song, Christmas Bell.
He will rise and remove the sting. Hear the Christmas bell we ring. Christmas bell.
Ring the bell for the world to hear. Death and hell should hold no fear. This sweet babe in a manger bed has the power to raise the dead.
He has keys to household main. In his hands a silver chain.
At his feet every knee shall bow. As the oven we ask to now.
Christmas bell. Every bell in the world should ring. Giving honor to our King. Bells of silver, bronze and gold. Bells of iron and ring of gold.
Wondered what it would be like to have access to the Oval Office and be able to tell the President what's on your mind?
That would be awesome. But we both know that that's not going to happen.
True. But what is amazing is that every believer in Christ has access directly and immediately to the God of this universe through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the next gift we find under His tree.
It's at the foot of the cross of Christ, God's Christmas tree, where we find direct and immediate access into God's presence for all the grace and help that we need. What a terrible thing it would be for any child of God to ignore that kind of access.
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 5:1-2.
In Christ Jesus our Lord, we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Ephesians 3:11.
Jesus Christ was victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and He now sits in heaven at the right hand of our Father. Whoever trusts in Him for their salvation has direct access into that glorious throne room to talk to God. Let's listen to the junior church as they sing about our Lord and Savior, who has made this access possible.
The next gift is joy. Joy that arises from knowing your sins have been forgiven. God forgives us of all our sins when we place our faith in Him, which produces joy, real joy, even amidst the sufferings and difficulties while living in this world.
And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Romans 5:11.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Philippians 4:4.
Peace was born in Bethlehem. Angels sang for joy.
Access was born in Bethlehem and wrapped in a little boy.
Hope was born in Bethlehem. Wise men there can see. In the child of Bethlehem, we are safe for all eternity.
Love was born in Bethlehem, love with hands and feet. The shepherds came to Bethlehem, the Lord of all love, to greet.
Trumpets sound, angels sing, the Holy Spirit a gift from the King.
Joy was born on Christmas Day, Christ of the world, joy we say.
Thank you, boys and girls. And now, let's listen to our adult choir as they sing, Let the Joy Begin.
Let the joy begin.
Looking underneath God's Christmas tree, the next gift we unwrap is peace with God. Peace is the thing for which the human heart longs, and it is waiting at the foot of the cross for you.
Peace often seems impossible in that world that we live in today, but the peace that Christea is referring to is not global peace, but peace with God, a peace that can only be realized through Jesus Christ.
Romans 3:11 and 17 states, "There is none who seeks after God and the way of peace they have not known."
Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1.
Nestled under God's Christmas tree, you will find the gift of peace. Real peace is found only in our Lord Jesus Christ. The melody of this next song should be very familiar to you. The words, maybe not so much.
Dashing through the snow in a shining Chevrolet, o'er the roads we go, racing all the way. Zoom! Bells on cell phones ring, all the lights are bright. What fun it is to run and sing a shopping song tonight. Oh, rushing, 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 rushing to the mall. Christmas bargains everywhere, I want to get them all. Time is flying, keep on buying friends and Christmas cheer. Hurry, 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 Christmas time is here. Concerts every night and parties every day. I get to be a shepherd in the Christmas sleigh. My daddy loves to eat, my mommy loves to bake. So we have lots of sugar, cookies, pumpkin pie, and cake. Oh, rushing, 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 rushing through the mall. Christmas bargains everywhere, but you get them all. Time is flying, keep on buying, spend Christmas cheer. Hurry, 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 Christmas time is here. Hurry, 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 Christmas time is here.
Jesus is the reason, he's the one and only reason for the season. That's why, Jesus, we should all be pleasing. He's a very special reason for the season. Jesus is the reason, he's the one and only reason for the season. That's why, Jesus, we should all be pleasing. He's a very special reason for the season. He's a very special reason for the
Hey, Christea, let's tell these folks about the last gift that we see under the tree.
Sure, Cal. It's hope. The good news of the gospel assures us that after we are justified in God's sight by simply trusting in Jesus Christ alone, we have eternal life. Did you know that Christ is coming again, not as a babe in Bethlehem, but in power and in glory? We take refuge in God's promises and look for the blessed hope of his return, knowing that we are saved from his wrath.
The word of God states, "Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved by the wrath through him." Romans 5:9. As believers in Christ, we are to be looking for our blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13.
Thank you. During this Christmas season, remember these wonderful gifts that God has provided for you. If you are here tonight and do not have the assurance of where you will spend eternity when you die, you need to first accept the greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior.
Then, all these gifts and many more will be available to you at the foot of the cross, God's Christmas tree. Because when Jesus Christ came to earth and died on that tree, He gave everything.
Thank you. Well, we want to thank you for coming tonight, those in person, those who are watching. They won't be served on the table in the hallway, but in the fellowship hall, the door to the right, as well as one to the left. The goodies are in there, so enjoy yourself. Also, pick up one of the booklets we have available. The ushers have them. One says, "For this cause he was born." The other is "Good News for Christmas." And this will explain in further detail the message of the gospel that you heard tonight in Scripture and in song. On your bulletin, on the back side of your bulletin, there is "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." We customarily close Christmas programs with this song because the words long ago are very accurate when it comes to the Word of God. It says, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem." You see, it was the Lord Jesus who came to reconcile sinful man to a holy God through his person and through his work. I also want to invite you next Sunday morning to our services here at Duluth Bible Church. In keeping with the season, we're going to be studying Luke chapter 1, that tells us the events leading up to the Christmas story on Sunday and Wednesday and such. And so I invite you to join us as the choir will be singing some specials this Sunday as well. That's right, isn't it, choir? Got it right? Okay, good. Very good. So on the back of your bulletin, I'd like to invite you to stand and join us as we sing together, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sin is reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ he is born in Bethlehem. Hark there, angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heavenly Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he breathe, risen with